Hello, everybody. This is Joseph Pathak of BornBurner.ca. Our twice daily Fired Up show is available on 108 platforms, also on the OSG Sports app out of Atlanta. Welcome to another edition of the No Holds Barred Wrestling Show, a Raw recap for Monday, March 11th. While this week came to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the home of the Pittsburgh Penguins. With John Carbo, Elino, the show is brought to you by the great people at iQuest Media, helping businesses grow from digital design to inbound marketing to branding and beyond. Check out iQuestMedia.ca. John Carbo, Elino, what did you think of Raw tonight?
It was okay that it got the job done in promoting WrestleMania and setting the stage for some of the matches we're going to see. I thought it was a little too much promo heavy compared to what we've seen in recent weeks. The matches on the show weren't as long aside from the main event, so I think that was kind of the low point of the show by having way too many promos, but the main event I thought delivered and was a great matchup for Drew McIntyre.
All right, so yeah, they build Drew McIntyre to a monster heel tonight. See, they could take one show and build a superstar. And tonight was Drew McIntyre. Hopefully they'll do some more next week. 27 days away from WrestleMania 35. Shield members Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose were in the ring to have a celebration of, you know, because they won their match at Fastlane last night. It was then the returning Shelton Benjamin. When Paul Heyman came out, Shelton Benjamin grilled Seth Rollins with a couple of suplexes. Seth Rollins got the better of Shelton Benjamin in 10 minutes, 25 seconds. But the key thing is Paul Heyman announced that Brock Lesnar will be at Raw next Monday from Chicago. Giancarlo, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was an interesting surprise because Shelton Benjamin's a SmackDown superstar. And early on in his career in OVW, he started off with Brock Lesnar. Those two were recruited at the same time. They spent a lot of time as a tag team. And when they were brought up, they never really had any interaction aside from when Brock Lesnar feuded with Kurt Angle back in like 2003. So it was interesting to see that Shelton Benjamin was brought out and it was made to look like he's Brock Lesnar's training partner for this match with Seth Rollins. And he's doing Brock Lesnar's dirty work. So I thought it was a great, it was a fresh matchup on Raw and a great win for Seth Rollins to continue his momentum heading into WrestleMania.
The match lasted about 10 minutes. And then they hyped Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin in the main event and Batista Triple H face-to-face. And the WWE announced that they topped 1 billion subscribers on all their social media outlets. Finn Balor took on Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental title. The match lasted 11 minutes. We got a new Intercontinental champion. They're bouncing back and forth. Bobby Lashley, with help from Leo Rush, Giancarlo, your thoughts?
Again, I thought the match was great. Just like you said, they're passing the Intercontinental Championship back and forth after Finn Balor just recently won it. I would have liked to seen him have a longer reign with the title. So I don't think it's a great move by like trading the title around like that. I think it doesn't really really value the title as well as they had it when the Miz was champion, when he had this long reign and it was prestigious. So the matchup I didn't really have a problem with. I like how Leo Rush got involved and the almighty Bobby Lashley now has another Intercontinental Championship reign.
All right. They announced that Alexa Bliss, Melina Bliss, will feature the announcement of the WrestleMania host. Wonder who that is. Then Charlie Caruso interviewed Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin said he will house train the big dog. Ronda Rousey made her way to the ring. Tell everybody what Ronda Rousey was saying.
Yeah, so she basically came out and went off on the crowd. She's a heel, so there's no denying, like, there's no speculation that if she's going to be a face or a heel. She went full-on heel mode tonight, bashed the crowd and who they choose to cheer for. She bashed her opponents. She even suggested that the main event at WrestleMania between the triple threat match be a handicap match, so she can expose how bad that Charlotte and Becky are and how superior and dominant she is. And I thought WWE missed an opportunity, and this should have been happening last night, this promo. It would have been more meaningful to have that after she attacked Becky, and tonight it showed, because Dana Brooke comes out and interrupts her, and it didn't really do anything to further the storyline. She just beats up Dana Brooke, and that was all. So I thought WWE kind of missed the opportunity there, but it's good to see that we have a heel Ronda Rousey now on Raw.
All right. Especially, I agree with you with the segment with Dana Brooke, considering Dana Brooke is from Cleveland. Last night's Fast Lane pay-per-view was from Cleveland. A good way to use Dana Brooke, but they used her a day late, probably. Ricochet and Aleister Black took on Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. That lasted short, about 4.5 minutes. Ricochet and Aleister Black winning, but then after the match, were attacked by the Revival, Giancarlo.
Yeah, so much, again, like we saw last night, these two teams involved in another matchup, and it's kind of shows that Raw's tag team division needs a lot of development and characters. We saw Tucker Knight and War Machine on Raw, and they haven't really been in the title scene yet, so it would have been good to have them involved in this match. But now with Aleister Black and Ricochet and Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, it's like the same thing, I feel. And it might get old for fans when they sit through the same match over and over again, much like we saw when Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler went at it. So I don't know where they're going to go with this with the tag division, but the Revival coming out, and they look like the superior team at the end of it after Aleister Black and Ricochet won.
A moment of the bliss, Alexa Bliss announcing the host for WrestleMania. Giancarlo, you have the honors.
Yeah, so she mentioned the host that hosted WrestleMania in the past, like The Rock, and then she said, yeah, this host is going to be much more electrifying, and a lot of people are probably thinking, who's she talking about? The video goes up on this screen there, and it's revealed that Alexa Bliss is the WrestleMania host this year, so looks like she won't be competing at WrestleMania as of now in that Women's Battle Royal. So it's going to be interesting how they use her at WrestleMania and to the lead-up of WrestleMania, because the host of WrestleMania is a big gig, and the New Day, what they did with it, they did a good job. So it's going to be something different to have Alexa Bliss now hosting WrestleMania.
Braun Strowman is interviewed by Charlie Caruso. Somebody says, your car is ready. They go to commercial, but then they from commercial in the parking lot, Strowman with the random guy stood next to a car, gift wrapped. Car looked amazing. And tell everybody what Braun Strowman did to it's John Carlo's birthday on Saturday. I was going to present him that car, but sorry, John Carlo, Braun took it. So handled with Braun.
Yeah, Braun Strowman. He's not really a nice guy when it comes to gift giving and accepting a gift. All he had to do was just drive it away or pay someone to drive it. But no, he had to just break it, take the door off and just toss it, crack the hood of the car, break the windshield. And then he said that those two guys from Saturday Night Live, we're going to be correspondents at WrestleMania. Better watch out because they're going to get those hands. So those guys better watch, like, be prepared, because something tells me they're going to be taking some heavy bumps at WrestleMania.
All right. Elias, our good friend Elias, sitting in the ring, making fun of Pittsburgh. Then No Way Jose comes out with a new haircut, and Elias destroys him, blah, blah, blah. All right. Then we got Natalya with Beth Phoenix in her corner, taking on Nia Jax with Tamina in their corner. Match lasted 26 seconds. DQ, Nia Jax defeated Natalya, or vice versa. Then, you have Beth Phoenix going at it and all that. And then when Nia Jax and Tamina get to, the rampway and all that in the locker room, they were attacked by the Boston Hug Connection. So, Giancarlo, what did you think of this segment?
Yeah, I thought it was a big waste. Like 26 seconds. I thought this whole women's revolution was to have longer matchups on the pay-per-views and featured more in the show. And tonight, I thought that was a little bit of a step backwards. This is supposed to be a big thing by having Beth Phoenix, a WWE Hall of Famer, come out, and 26 seconds doesn't really do anything, and it was a short thing. She interfered in the match, attacked Nia, and that's when everything happened with the Boston Hug Connection beating up Nia and Tamina backstage. So looks like there's going to be a big tag team match at WrestleMania, and Natalya and Beth Phoenix are likely to be involved, and so are Nia Jax and Tamina.
All right, so then limousine comes out. It's Batista with like 25 security guards. Rory Mitchell was one of them, by the way. Rory Mitchell is one of them. My good friend Rory Mitchell, one of them. That brings out Triple H. Who they have a face-to-face. Triple H's record at WrestleMania is 9-10, by the way. Batista says, give me what I always wanted. Give me always. I'll give you. I won't give you anything. I'll give you a beatdown or whatever. Then Batista says he wants Triple H at WrestleMania. Is that what you want? All right. Triple H says, you'll have me. There'll be no dispute, no DQ, and no count out, no submission, no anything. WrestleMania, Triple H, Batista, John Carville.
Yeah, I like the promo. It was really good. Both these guys delivered with it, and it's not going to be a straight up wrestling match. As you know, Batista, I like him. He's a great, he's been a great legend in WWE, but he's no Kurt Angle when it comes to in-ring ability. So being a no-holds-barred match, I think it's a great way to have both these guys' styles mesh well together. And they've had some great Hell in a Cell matches in the past. So I think this is going to be a grueling match at WrestleMania. And Batista also said he wanted to leave on his own terms, but his own terms aren't just leaving with a win. It's leaving knowing that he ended Triple H's career. So that's just that added boost to this rivalry, and I'm really looking forward to this match now when they eventually face each other.
As I mentioned, tonight's Raw came to you from Pittsburgh, the home of Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle came on the microphone and said that at WrestleMania will be his last match. Didn't say against who. Brought out, he wants to have a match in his hometown of Pittsburgh. Brought out Apollo Crews, who's now Apollo Crews as opposed to Apollo, because he was Apollo Crews when he started, then Apollo, then get his drift by Giancarlo. Kurt Angle beat him in 3 minutes. Your thoughts?
I thought this was good for Kurt Angle. It's safe in that he doesn't have to do all these high-risk moves, doesn't expose that maybe he's dealing with an injury, and it allows him now an extra 3 weeks to prepare for his final match. And I think his final match, he's going to want to go out and then like and have fans remember him for having a really great match and not look like at the greatest Royal Rumble or even that other, the Crown Jewel event as well, when it looked like he was struggling a little bit. So I think we're going to get a really good final Kurt Angle match. It's just the opponent is to be announced. So it's going to be like finding an opponent for Kurt Angle in this last match is going to be a little difficult. There are some names back there that would make sense, but it's going to be like interesting to see who they match him up with.
Well, Jeff Jarrett is back. Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, TNA, Impact Rock, never mind. All right, so then we're supposed to have Roman Reigns up against Baron Corbin, but out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre destroys Roman Reigns, hits him on the head, he's dizzy, Seth Rollins comes out, tells him to go get himself checked out. Backstage, Seth Rollins and Dean tell Roman Reigns to get himself checked out. So they do. Then Dean Ambrose finds Triple H, says he wants a new DQ, no holds barred match, everything against Seth Rollins. That leads to the main event. Go ahead, Giancarlo.
Yeah, like I brought up in the beginning of this show, Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre, I thought, really delivered in the main event. They took the match backstage. They went to the concession area. Dean Ambrose even got some popcorn during the match in the commercial break. And Drew McIntyre, that vicious side of him, that spot with a pencil, just jamming it in Dean Ambrose's eye. And then he finishes the match with that Claymore kick in between that railing. So WWE really rebuilt up Drew McIntyre, because he's been taking some losses in the last couple of months, and now they really made him look strong again, and now he's a threat to whoever he faces at WrestleMania. Maybe he faces Roman Reigns, maybe they do a six-man tag, so there's a lot of possibilities for Drew, but at least he's looking like a real formidable threat heading into WrestleMania.
All right, that's the No Holds Barred Raw recap this week with Giancarlo Lino. Giancarlo, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at John_411, Instagram at Giancarlo_Alino, and follow all my articles on barnburner.ca.
And once again, the show was brought to you by the great people at iQuest Media, helping businesses grow from digital design to inbound marketing to branding and beyond. Check out iQuestmedia.ca. Thanks a lot, Giancarlo.
Thanks, Joe.